Well, a much-anticipated decision comes down from the Supreme Court tomorrow. Is a ban on assisted suicide unconstitutional? It will be a decision that helps shape how the country is governed, and it will once again raise questions about who holds the power in making or changing Canada's laws, the courts or Parliament. It's a topic that Kent Roach has spent a lot of time studying. He's a constitutional law expert at the University of Toronto, and he's in Ottawa today to give a talk on judicial activism. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Hallie.
Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I know you were on it last week.
So why did you want to come to Ottawa now to give this talk?
Well, the Federation for Humanities and Social Science is hosting a big thinking lecture, and the idea is to bring everyone in the Ottawa community. So there'll be people, probably law clerks in the Supreme Court, there'll be parliamentarians and everyone. And part of my message is it's a mistake to think that this is either courts or Parliament, and that likely what we're going to see tomorrow is a decision that it is, you know, for some people, judicial activism, but hands the ball over to Parliament.
What does that term mean? Because I've heard it used pejoratively, to be honest with you. So what does it mean?
Well, I mean, people do use it pejoratively, but I just look at it as the court doing its job, and, you know, the people who look at it as a bad thing, I think that we live in somehow a regime of judicial supremacy, that the unelected judges are ruling. And I think that that's a real mistake. Mm-hmm. So whether we look at tomorrow's decision or we look at the prostitution decision, in our democracy, courts have to look at the evidence. They have to decide whether someone's rights are violated. I think the vast majority of Canadians want that kind of society. But our courts have developed some really interesting new remedies where they don't necessarily have the final word. They say, look, we have to protect, you know, someone's rights, like Gloria Taylor's rights. We think that her rights will be violated if she has to die without assistance. But then they say, we don't have all the answers, so we're going to give her a remedy, but we're going to allow Parliament to consult with all sorts of people to devise a new regime going forward.
But you can understand it when the government criticizes the courts for sort of resisting or pushing back or changing the status quo or sending them back to the drawing board, essentially, to write new laws. You can see their perspective.
Well, no, but I mean, I think in some ways it's a little bit like criticizing getting more work dumped on your desk, right? So that Parliament has, and I think we're seeing this over the security bill, Parliament doesn't always want, and the parties don't always want to engage on the hard issues that affect people's rights. And that's why I think it is very important that we have an active court, but not necessarily a court that has the last word.
You've heard the argument that politicians are elected representatives. They represent what their constituents feel and want. And so they really shouldn't be overruled as lawmakers.
Well, no, but each law has an effect upon the individual, and if it violates that individual's rights, I mean, maybe tomorrow the Supreme Court will say that no one's rights are violated, but if it really does violate someone's rights, in some ways we can't expect Parliament to see the individual. And so the courts defend the individual and provide remedies to the individual while remanding or punting the larger systemic problems over to Parliament. And Canada has really been a world leader in this kind of remedy that remands things back to the legislature. And I think Canadians should understand that better.
Well, it's interesting because if it was a bit of a yin and yang thing, some you win and some you lose, I think people would understand that there is this give and take. But it seems, and maybe I'm incorrect, that there's this impression that it's been all one way lately or mostly one way.
Well, you know, certainly the government hasn't been happy with some of the things the Supreme Court has done, but the government also has its say. Think about the prostitution reference. The people who brought the prostitution reference are probably not very happy with the legislation that was eventually passed. So I actually do think that we're seeing a kind of back and forth, checks and balance dialogue between the courts and Parliament. And the idea that the courts have just usurped the legislative function, I think, is a bit exaggerated.
Jason Kenney's speeches to the Toronto Bar Association notwithstanding?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this not from a partisan way. It wasn't only this government right. that had problems with the court. I mean, one of the things that we'll look for tomorrow is whether the Supreme Court changes its mind from the Rodriguez case in 1993. The court rarely changes its mind, but sometimes it does. One of the last times it did was to say we're not going to extradite people to face the death penalty. Why wrongful convictions? Well, you know, you just cannot expect elected politicians of any stripe to really be concerned about the rights of the accused. And so if you don't have a strong judiciary, we're not going to have a society that respects rights or is really governed by the rule of law.
It's a fascinating discussion. I know it's somewhat polarizing, or at least there's a range of opinion on this. Kent, thanks very much for talking it through this morning.
You're welcome.
Best of luck today.
Thank you very much. I'll be up there on 7:30, and maybe people will disagree with me.
Kent Roach. Oh, I think they will, Kent. At least some. Kent Roach, a professor of law at the University of Toronto. He's giving a talk this morning, Judicial Activism at the Parliamentary Restaurant in Centre Block.